That was unexpected. Now, where are we? Some sort of tunnel. Maybe the sewers under the city. Ah, there are some lights coming towards us. Maybe they know our way out. Excuse me, we're a little lost and in need of directions.
Halt! Move and you're dead.
Interesting.
Who are you and what faction are you with?
Faction?
Just kill them.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not do anything too hasty.
We are not killing them. If we killed every stranger we came across, you would be dead too. We're taking them back to the mayor now. Move.
Okay, okay.
Lame.
You know, this reminds me of a very strange chapter of the Noobs of LARP.
So, you went LARPing?
I went LARPing.
That was weird. It was so strange to know that you were going and I wasn't going to be there. And oh man, I there was so many times I was just like, is there any way I can be part of this?
Yeah, it's like to go without you and Bung was a bit odd. But yeah, let's go back. Right, so basically the thing I went to was this thing called Blind Dogs, which is a... Okay, so it's Metro 2033, do you know that Russian book in the games?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so I love that book, right? Yeah. It's all, basically the book is like post-apocalyptic, the set in Russia, there's like, everyone lives in the underground stations because the surface is full of terrible things, basically. Yeah. And
society's degraded. And all
yeah,
that
and
kind
I
of
love
stuff.
That, right? Yeah. And the idea of like LARPing that was...
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, right? So basically, Callum, who's the guy who we met at E3.
He was the guy who did the Varushka.
Exactly, right? Sort of,
yeah.
So when I went up to record with him, and I also did the Profound Decisions episode.
You'll have noticed that on one of our previous episodes, we had in the intros a recording of a guy telling the story of the Selma Grump.
Yeah,
that's him. That's
yeah,
the guy.
Exactly, yeah. So... while I was up there recording, like I didn't know the guy that well at all when we actually did that recording. So when we actually got to hang out and like had a chat, he was like, hey, have you heard about this post-apocalyptic LARP? Now, Callum is way more into...
I got the sense he does quite a few LARPs, right?
He knows his LARP, man. He goes to a couple of different ones. He knows people in the scene. There's this whole world that I'm dipping our toe into.
Well, he runs a pub like in game at Empire, and it's like to be that heavily involved in kind of a LARP. Like I think it says a lot.
Yeah, I really enjoy LARP. Anyway,
he's fantastic.
We'll get to that. But so basically, he told me about this LARP, and at the time, I was like, no money.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do for gear? Right. One thing I should say before, like. So Blind Dogs is like a mix between melee, like you know, like we're used to, and airsoft.
Yes, and that changes everything.
Okay, yeah. So when I first like joined the group, there was a few kind of like pointers on what the game would be like. We'll probably go into more detail on this just to give you an overview though, and how my thinking went into pre-LARP. You know,
right.
So they're talking about like low rules or whatever, it's not many rules to LARPing, right?
Right.
Like, okay. So if you get shot,
you've
got shot,
that, yeah.
Right? If you get hit by an axe, you get hit by an axe, right?
Yeah.
So it becomes a very...
and you roll out, like, role play out where you get hit. So if you got hit on the arm, you'd role play out.
Exactly.
Hit on the arm.
There's no
kind of cool.
There's no hit points.
Yeah.
There's just you and, like, death, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my immediate reaction to that was, I need to craft so much stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna have time or money to do this, right?
Yeah.
Like it's I think I that was October,
yeah,
and I think that was like, and the thing was the 1st of March or whatever, it's around that weekend,
and it seems like a long time, but it's not actually.
Dude, it's not a long time. You got Christmas and like the financial stuff of Christmas and everything going on with that, and a few other bits that I had going on. But basically, I can't even remember how I decided that I was going to go.
You just told me.
I'll tell you what it was. So basically, I said to Callum, like, there is no way I'm going to get this done. And he's like, I've got you a gun.
Yeah.
Right? I've got you a gun. I've got you a like a military vest. You know, the ones
with
the pockets on it that you can do. I'm like, what? Like, and bear in mind, I don't know Callum that well. So he's like, just come up. do an airsoft evening with me, and I'll give you all this stuff.
Wow. Yeah. So generous, so, dude.
So basically, I headed up north to a place called Berry, and I went to a place called The Vault.
Okay.
What's it called? The Vault QCB? Close Quarters Battle?
Okay.
QCB, yeah.
Okay.
And, right, so airsoft. Like LARP, I feel there's a bit of judgment about airsoft as a hobby. Well, I certainly had... Basically, I chatted to a friend of mine who was... He did a fair amount of airsoft. And there's a lot of kind of people who maybe take it a little bit too seriously.
It does have that sort of serious sort of thing to it when you're thinking about
like
what airsoft
is. Like a phony macho vibe to the whole thing. That's my kind of like...
Yeah,
my kind of... judgment-y head on
Yeah, that's like your stereotypical head.
And I've talked to a friend of mine who was like, he kind of said he really liked the hobby, but there was that, and that kind of like spoiled some of the games for him, and eventually he kind of gave up on it. Or doesn't do it as much. But they were lovely.
Yeah.
They were so nice, right? So greeted at the counter was a lady called Claire. I want to give these people a shout out because they were so nice, who did like, who signed me in and kind of made me feel welcome. And then the guy that actually ran the session is a guy called Steve. And those two as like a team was just, I couldn't feel more welcome in a world I didn't know anything about. So I show up, right? There's a room full of guys all gearing up and suiting up. And, you know, there's lots of military gear. Some of it's a bit like different or whatever. But Callum pulls out the gun he's giving me, which is a like a German pistol with a baked bean can or whatever attached to the muzzle, at the end of the muzzle.
Yeah, I love it.
So it's like a ridiculous post-apocalyptic silencer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. It looks
the,
so
the
good.
Magazine loads like four of the trigger. So it's kind of got that old German...
Okay, like, it's like a Luger.
Yeah, like a Luger vibe or whatever. Yeah. There's a name of it, an M something or whatever. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. But it's a cool looking weapon, right? I pull this bad boy out and everyone looks over and is like, fucking cool gun, man. And we just start chatting. When he said, oh, what is it? Oh, we're going to go LARPing. No one batted an eyelid.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, like...
Well, actually, no, that is a bit... Like, I'm a bit surprised, because, like, as you say, you sort of think
nobody batted an eyelid. It was the weirdest thing to be like, are you going LARPing? Cool. And it was, like, I was like, what? Like, why shouldn't... What? Where's the funny looks or the... Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And also, there was one guy there that did... he was talking about... what's the medieval sword fighting?
Oh,
HEMA.
Yeah, HEMA. Yeah.
HEMA. He did HEMA. I'm starting to get this feeling that certain hobbies have overlap, right?
Overlap.
So you have your airsofty, LARPy, you know, kind of overlap in this whole thing.
I think especially when you think about where, I guess, our overlap is, which is like video games, fantasy novels, and...
Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons, right? Like that's, if you like, on that sort of, what are those graphs called with the three circles that cross over? Going to sound like a moron because I can't remember the name.
I can't remember. So
anyway, those kind of, I think Venn diagram, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Right.
Of like,
fancy.
We're on one of the bubbles, which is like geek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not on the sort of like the
not
HEMA
cool
bubble.
Spectrum or anything. I mean, not the athletic guys at
which
the
I think probably a lot of people are in who get into it. But anyway,
well,
so
yeah,
anyway, how that reflects to.
So, yeah, and so we all get geared up. Eye protection, we have to watch the safety video, you have to wear eye protection all the time, not put your magazine in your gun. And then basically it's a floor, if you think of like a floor of a warehouse, but all the way through it is like chipboard walls to make fake rooms and fake doorways and fake corridors.
That's cool.
Right? And it's pretty dark in there. And basically they give you just a few games and then you go. And I've never done anything like that before. So it was pretty like, well, yeah, how hard can it be, right? First couple of rounds I went out, just got served immediately. Like, it was tense, and then I got killed.
Yeah.
But then I think my old, like, FPS kicked in. And I was just... It was so much easier moving forward.
Yes.
Like, standing still or whatever, right? It was... The best way to be was, like, really aggressive.
No, I think it's like having momentum, right? So you need to move with momentum. That doesn't necessarily mean fast. It just means moving.
Controlled, right?
Yeah.
So I played a few games of that. It was, it was really good fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, the guys were really good sports about it. Just had a great time. Had to come back early because I had to drive all the way from Bury, which is in near Manchester, all the way back. And I had work the next morning. But basically, long story short, Callum gave me the gun, one is the big green, like...
Military harness kind
military
of thing.
Harness vibe, right? Another one that's a small black one, which I didn't end up using. And a couple of other bits of stuff that he had kind of weathered.
Cool.
Okay.
That's nice. Really nice.
Right, I've got my stuff. Time to go on. Oh, and this is the point when I started to... That's when I paid my cash monies.
To book it was your in, place.
I think it was in... I got lucky. There's like 50 spots for players. I can't remember how many crew there are. I never found out. But there was more crew than there were
players. But do you pay to be crew? Is that part of
it? I don't know what the deal is. I have honestly no idea what the crew side of things is. As purely as a player was my window into this world.
Sure.
And yeah, the... Oh, where was I?
So you paid your money.
Oh, sorry, I paid money. Oh, okay. So one thing about Blind Dogs that we should... This is in no way a criticism, but it's not profound decisions. Okay, yeah. It's not a big company that's got loads of experience and is like... So when I sent my money off, it's like, yeah, your PayPal's been successful. But there's no email, right? And in today's age, I'm like, God, who am I just sending money to people and not knowing what's going on?
Sure.
No, it's like a lot of the organizers were like, I think as far as I'm aware, this was their first event.
Yeah.
But they've been probably veteran a lot of volunteers
and stuff as well.
Yeah, right? But also I should say that doesn't come across in the vast majority of the gameplay that I had. It was anyway, we'll get to that.
Professional.
We'll get to that. Yeah, okay. So where are we at? So I did the did crafting.
Well, this is really the meat of what I wanted to get into. Because at this point we defined that obviously I wasn't going, so mm-hmm. you knew that and you went ahead and booked it and I was like super hyped for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back and you said, I'm going to start making things. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because if you go back to our earlier episodes, you'll know, I think even in the first episode, I may be wrong, like I talk about the fact that I'm crafting, that you think that you will never probably do that.
Yeah, bro, that was my feeling up until coming into this. The most I'd made before coming into Blind Dogs was making bracelets.
Yeah, and I was like, what kind of shifted that feeling? Because you seemed like... I think you've grown into someone who actually really enjoys crafting and has kind of got into it.
I am now.
Yeah, but what was the changing point?
Okay, so post-apocalyptic, I like it because I don't have to, like, say if you're making, like, leather armor.
Yeah.
You need to cut that shit precise, right? Yeah. Everything has to be nice and neat and do all that stuff. Post-apocalyptic, for me anyway, was the opposite.
Right.
It's get stuff and kind of wreck it. And I was like, I can wreck shit. Like, how hard can wrecking shit be? Right? Like, that was my... Oh, I want to give a shout out to a YouTube channel before I forget.
Is that Atomic Snail?
Yeah. Nuclear Snail Channel. Yeah. Right? That I asked basically on the Blind Dogs group about a few things. And they were like, just go and check out this channel, basically. So I went along, and it's really...
Fantastic. I watched a couple of them. I was really interested in it.
It's entertaining, it's well-made, and really informative. Like, the three things that... Like, we definitely don't hit all three of those, do you know what I mean, on this podcast, but it's really well done.
I think it really helps the fact he's a photographer, or he seems to be.
Well, I messaged him.
Right.
The nice thing about the world of LARP is that it's so fucking small. You can literally message someone and be like, hey, like, I think I messaged the community group. Or
it's good. Like, people get in touch with us, right?
Like, yeah. That's how it is. I just had to thank him for, like, I would... This little princess would not go to the ball if it wasn't for that channel, awesome. Basically. Yeah. Like, 100%. So I need to shout out to that. I called Dimitri. He's a Russian fellow. Yeah. Moved to Germany. Now he's in Germany. Fucking German LARP.
Dude, that's big, dude. Huh? It's big.
Isn't there a...
You're tempted, are you?
You're missing the elephant in the room, I feel, sometimes, with, like, how you get this... Like, we get downloads from Germany. There's, like... There's something going on in Germany, Ian. I think we should maybe investigate when we both have the funds.
I'd be interested. It's just getting it done right. And it's the finances of it, as you say.
Oh, man, but ridiculous.
What I really wanted to get into was, like, the mentality shift in mm-hmm. getting into crafting and stuff. And kind of, obviously... You felt it was something you could do, but what made you really think about crafting?
They asked me for my character, and I was really, like, when I had to send it off, and I tried to put stuff down on paper and then put it off. Mm-hmm. And I was really struggling to come up with something that I really felt connected to in the world, because the world is like, there's some documentation on it, but really I was like, I don't know much about this, you know what I mean? Like, I can't really, I'm not getting my hook in for my character.
So we were talking, I guess, like, we were talking about some ideas, and just, you know, sort of texting.
There were a lot of different characters before this one got picked, by the way. There was a small room full of people waiting to go.
Yeah, wasn't one of them we were going to do, like...
There was a religious zealot.
Yeah, that was
it, a
religious zealot, yeah. You almost went with that one, I think.
That was really... But then it shifted to... Because it's like, it was 2018 then when I started planning it.
Yeah.
with the whole conspiracy theory,
Alex Jones-ish kind
the
of stuff,
internet, yeah. And like its effect on like, and it made me realize how many people believe like crazy shit. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just, and I thought about like, you know, the world's coming to an end of like, the fucking elites did it. That's what they did here. They're up there on their space stations looking down at us, just watching us pick each other apart. And this just narrative started to come out of it. And I was like,
yeah, I think
fucking like that
we
shit.
Both kind of suggested going for the whole conspiracy theory survivalist kind of person. And then like, yeah, I think I suggested it and then you sort of took it and just flew with it. And
yeah,
it
I
became
made
this
it,
kind of...
Well, I think you have to kind of come up with a... you get a picture of a character in your head,
yeah,
right? And then you're more like exploring that and fleshing out that character. You're discovering the character more than creating it, you know?
Yeah.
And
like, we started sort of like just sort of sending each other pictures of things we'd found on Amazon and stuff. And I think like, you know, like a boiler suit or patches.
Costume. Like what we said before, like buying little bits of gear and now crafting little bits of gear. Adds to the story of a character,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So I got a boiler suit, a blue boiler suit, and got a bunch of like iron on
patches, yeah, which are like conspiracy theory patches,
well,
like
I believe
kind of stuff.
Like UFOs on them. I had the planets on one sleeve of my thing,
it was really cool, kind of that tells story, right?
It's kind of fun, right? Yeah. And I was, you know, it's you know, kind of bring it up in conversation and stuff, but you know, I don't want to be too mental. I also put down that I wanted to have like a slight substance abuse problem, which I just assumed would be like standard in the apocalypse, right?
Like how you get through the day, kind
of thing. Exactly. So I had a little hip flask, I wanted to have a hip flask with me.
You've seen some shit,
Seen some shit, but also like I don't know, like not
completely off the wall crazy, but
no,
like...
but also like not that like bummed about it, like I'm onto things, you know, like I'm, you know
what's
I'm
really going on, kind
of exactly,
thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it can't be that bad because you're in the know. You're one of the only people in the know.
Yeah, I know. And I also believe that there are like provocateurs among us and stuff, which by the way, as a concept for the actual LARP itself, there are, Ian, and they're terrifying.
Okay.
There's a lot of crazy people out there and spies and all sorts in the actual, you know, it's crazy.
Nice.
Right. So first of all, I went about, aging everything.
Right.
So I got a serrated edged knife and a couple of other weird tools, and I basically just sat there and scraped the boiler suit.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I scraped the bloody the military vest thing.
And it's strange, isn't it? Like stuff like that, you can't. It's not difficult, but it takes time, right?
Yeah.
And it's because you can't rush it because it has to be done.
Also,
and there's a process that has to be followed.
If you stop concentrating. You weirdly, despite you trying to fuck stuff up, you can make mistakes quite easily, like cut through fabric a bit more than you meant to and a few other bits and pieces. A lot of that was like doing the hems on stuff was a big deal. I remember seeing on the forums most people's advice was do the hems more.
Yeah, because I guess it stands out more, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, well, okay, well, I was about to say we can... Well, yeah, let me just say it. In the dark...
Yeah.
Honestly, it wasn't as noticeable as you would imagine.
Sure,
like,
sure.
But I never thought when I looked at anyone that their costume was weak sauce.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe everyone... I think everyone did put their effort in.
Yeah.
Right, so then... Oh, man.
You got that aluminium plate.
Yeah, the fucking aluminium plate, right?
Okay.
So going back to what we were talking about before with the idea that bullets are real and everything's like this, I was like... I need to get some armor, right?
Yeah.
Like at least on my chest, right? Like something.
Yeah.
So then I had this idea of using aluminium for some reason. And then...
Just because it's easy to work with,
yeah.
Right?
So I found these plates on eBay that were like with the corrugated that you step onto a walk, you know, like on a walkway aluminium.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I can get sheets. And they were like about the right size uncut.
Yeah.
So I was like,
all you got to do is knock four holes in.
Fucking eight. Knock four holes in.
Rivet it on.
Weather it. Stick it to the vest.
Yeah.
Jobs are good in, right? I'm a fucking genius, Ian. I'm just crafting all day long, you know what I mean? So
but you did this really kind of good looking, I felt, sort of weathering process on this bit of aluminium. Because aluminium is actually if you've ever worked with aluminium, it's very shiny, right? So if you want to kind of rude it up, which for most LARP you do, because very rarely you're going to want that kind of super shiny looking any kind of LARP.
Basically, what I did was. Okay, there are a couple of ways that you can weather, basically. You go to the channel, this that snail channel, and have a look. But cloves, you basically get
two types of dirt, dry right. dirt, not organic.
Yeah.
And then you slap some black paint. You have black paint and you have see-through matte paint, okay?
Okay.
And then you get the stuff and you wet it up with the black paint.
Right.
Put on some dirt, layer of clear paint, other type of dirt. That's right, the okay. theory, right? And you just repeat that until the whole entire thing is done.
Okay.
I ran out of clear spray paint virtually immediately. The can I had must have just been not very good quality yeah. and it ran out really quickly. So tried to do as much as I could. Most of it was just me out there on the balcony just getting really dirty, just yeah. trying to grimy it up and use black paint to sticky it on and just put layers on
but
it.
But the end result, I thought, really looked pretty legit.
It is fucking cool. It's such an easy, no-brainer technique and it works so good.
Didn't you put some rusting sort of effect
Yeah, this
on
is
it.
What I want to get to, right? So all the stuff I bought in the end, I'll just literally rabbit these off so you can try. I'll put pictures on the Facebook group if you want to actually see these, if I remember on the day we release it. But
if not, later
yeah.
on.
So basically, I bought a cricket helmet.
Yeah.
Like really cheap on eBay. The yeah. guy was struggling to sell it. I just said, I'll give you a fiver for it. And he was like, sold. And so I got myself a cricket helmet. I had the harness, which I weathered as well.
But what did you buy like actual rusting
sorts? Yeah. So then.
Yeah.
So for the... Oh, and a mouthpiece, that like a breathing yeah, yeah. apparatus. Yeah. And also, goggles and the visor. So I basically looked at a few different things and they were talking about rusting stuff up. And basically you can buy paint off the internet that is, and one of the guys on the Blind Dogs should have written this down, but thank you very much if you are listening, whoever recommended it. But this rust paint. And basically all you do is, it's like a bluish paint. You lather that on stuff. So my aluminium plate, right? Get a layer of it on, wait for that to dry, put another layer on. And then you have a catalyst, which is literally like a spray.
Right.
You go psh, like a little water spray.
Okay.
And you psh, put it all over it and then wait. And okay. I was expecting like, you know, or something. Yeah. It just sat there slowly doing its thing.
Okay.
But as it can take up to like 24 hours, they said, I think it keeps on keeping going, basically.
Right. Yeah.
But in the first like 6 hours, you start to see some colors coming out and it just starts to look pretty cool. And then in the morning, you're like, wow. And it just looks. Honestly, rust paint is the greatest invention. I applied it to so many things.
Dude, it looked like really good.
Really like, good. Genuinely proud of that.
Because with my Armor 4 that I currently have,
mm-hmm.
rather than the Lamlar I'm working on now, with that, when I put it together, that used aluminium. And to make the bits of the plates on that look dirty, I just got black paint, basically, and mm-hmm. sort of dry brushed and you know, painted it, essentially. Yeah, yeah. And then sort of wore the paint off again. And the effect looks way worse than what you did.
It's really rust. It's iron filings inside yeah. the paint, so it's really rust on the outside. So you get these beautiful textures and colors.
Yeah, and it's random, right? It has that organic randomness to it, yep. which is it just adds so much credibility. It looked fantastic. I was really impressed. Actually.
I did my cricket helmet. I did my visor. I did the breathing apparatus. And I did the my hip flask.
Nice.
All of the same stuff. And honestly, on the different materials, it came out with different stuff, but it just yeah. works. It looks so good. I'm really proud of it. Anyway, so there I am, pleased as punching. Look at me, crafting away, having a great time. Nailed it like a boss. So I put a picture up of me wearing my Your thing kit, with yeah. the plate on it. And immediately people are like, dude, it looks great, but the corners of the aluminium plate are extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, shit, I didn't even think of that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I've got pointy edges on my laughing, which will make it unsafe.
Right.
Which means I can't use it.
Right.
So again, someone recommended the Snail channel again.
Yeah.
They have a video on armor, which is why I'm like kissing that guy's ass so much, because amazing stuff on yeah. that channel. I basically did what he did for his metal armor video, which is basically get... EVA foam,
yeah,
which is like a lot of cosplayers
yeah,
use
it's,
it.
Yeah, things. It's high dense foam, but you can kind of like use a heat gun to manipulate it, and you can cut into it, and it's
yeah. I didn't get that far. I cut it out.
Yeah,
and then
so you kind of cut a trench out, didn't you? To essentially
it wasn't even a trench. I literally cut out just a half a centimeter round metal
okay,
plate.
Right.
And then what do you then? Oh, and then I got an old T-shirt. Well, right. It was actually a long sleeve shirt. And I cut out like a section across the body.
Right.
Wrapped that over the
EVA foam. Right.
And then touched all that together. And then I put the metal plate on top of that. Right. So basically it's got like an outer edge, which is
foam.
LARP safer. Yeah. I also should say, I use an angle grinder. I went to my dad's house and used an angle grinder just to grind off the edges.
Yeah, and just round it out as well.
Which was really good fun. Yeah. Like, I would like to do more things in aluminium in the future.
Working on my house and then working on the armor and stuff and doing a little bit of crafting and things. Like, there's a step in my house that I made and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of getting all the woodwork tools out. Like, as someone who's in no way kind of hands-on with anything, or hasn't been pretty much, it's kind of pretty cool to actually do manual tasks and stuff.
The satisfaction there's a lot of reward to it. Doing your own thing is like,
yeah,
it's good to kind of open that door and kind of step in it. And kind
Yeah, and it makes you think about, once you've done something, like, for example, the laminar armor I'm making now is the most complicated thing I've ever made. And it's a huge, lengthy process that's taken me ages. But even working on it now, but even working on it now, I'm thinking there's a lot of ways I could have improved this. And that's while I'm making it. I'm thinking, like, all these dip steps that I've previously done, I could have done those better if I did it like this. Yeah. But I'm still going to make it. And I think that's interesting because it makes me think about what I could like,
that's
do in the
future.
Worst,
that's the worst you'll ever do that. Right, unless you don't do it for ages and drop that skill, you have to kind of keep that.
Yeah. But so it's like, so it makes, you know, now you've got those kind of things, because you've been thinking about obviously what you want to do for your Empire armor, which we won't go into, but what I think it's interesting how all this experience, I think, has really opened up crafting to you.
It's also made me realize a lot of LARP stuff isn't overpriced.
No.
It's like...
Because you've got to think of the hours that go into it,
absolutely.
Right? That, you can actually get materials... cheap, but not as cheap as you would think.
No, not as cheap, anywhere near as cheap as I thought they would be.
If you get in bulk, you really get some savings. But a lot of people, when you're dipping your toe in, you don't want to get lots of stuff, right?
Some bits were really cheap, like the big roll of EVA, really fucking cheap. The aluminium plates, really, really cheap. But there's a few things like along that way, if I was going to really go into like creating something in aluminium and things like that, you start to have to spend a little bit more money to do it right, you know?
Yeah.
Also, the amount of tools you need as well suddenly starts to open the door up on things.
Yeah.
I'd like, lucky my wife does a bit of crafting, so she had like a, to make the holes through the aluminium into the cloth and the EVA, I used a heat, you use it to burn like words into wood.
Oh yeah, I know. I've,
like a little heat, like a soldering iron.
It's like a soldering iron with a blade on, basically.
So I just used that to burn a few stuff, and it made it really nice, because it's all plastic fabric, so it just made a perfect little thing.
Nice.
A bit smoky, but good times. Right, so yeah, crafted everything. Oh, and also, when I was doing the weathering stuff, the iron-on badges that I've put on the thing didn't survive very well.
Okay,
that was one thing. They did not survive the weathering process very well. Like, I lost them throughout the time I was there, and they were falling off when I got there. So, yeah, something... If I was going to do it again...
Would you sew it on?
I'd sew them, 100%.
Yeah. Like, would you kind of iron it and then sew them after that?
I don't know, like... I didn't have the right stuff to do it. I honestly don't know, I didn't try a successful run on that.
But then that's the whole thing, isn't it, as we were saying. It's just like you've learned that now. Mm-hmm. So if you ever do it again... You'll do it better.
Yeah. I think it's made me more confident in trying something in Empire. But right now, I need more money.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it is expensive, right? And I think I definitely encourage people to get into it.
If I'm going
to
do it, like the way I did the LARPing for the crafting for this LARP was, I did it, and I thought about it all the time.
Yeah,
I was like. When I had to stop crafting at times,
yeah,
or I had to wait for something to craft, and then I'd just be like, right, thinking like, right, what's next? Like, need to do this. I didn't think of this. Do you know what I mean? And then trying to just think about how you're gonna do it. Like the build up to the actual weathering process on the outside of the kit.
Yeah.
Like I was like, right, I'm ready.
Sure.
I've got this. I've got my big like plastic bucket out there, so I could not make too much of a mess and just.
It's weird how hours in the day run away as well. And you also got your own momentum, right? Because you can't... Like, it's weird. Like, you'd think you'd just bash through it all and get it done. Because when you actually sit down and think about the hours of labor involved, it's a lot, but it's not... You know, when you sort of can say it's like, oh, it's 20 hours work or whatever.
Yeah,
or
that is the other thing.
And you think... But actually, that was broken over quite a period sometimes.
Hell yeah. I've got a life and I'm doing... I'm working full time, you know? It's like I've got other commitments in life. I didn't struggle with time. And let me put it this way. from, I didn't really start crafting until at least mid-December.
Yeah.
Actually, in fact, I think it might have been payday.
I think it was December. Pretty late, dude, yeah.
That's when I definitely hadn't done it before Christmas. Everything that happened was literally within a month. More experienced players may look at my stuff and go, meh, but I had people at the event go, hey dude, really like your costume. And also like people like genuinely being supportive of the process, right?
I think like, and we found this at Empire as well, like if you think, consider the outfits that we went in,
mm-hmm.
and how actually there's a lot of people who do go like that.
My stuff at Empire is still whack. It's whack as shit, and I've realised how whack my shit is.
Yeah, but like everyone's working on those imitations, right? When you're a new player, that's what your LARP kit looks like, and that's completely fine. And actually, so many people are supportive of that, and there's such a high population of people with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I'd always encourage people to, you know, put the effort in and put thought in. But
this is a good point, actually. Empire is a couple of thousand people, like more, right?
Yeah.
Blind Dogs is 50 players.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Okay, so there, I should go into some like concerns I had before going in, right? Because it's so small, right? Sure. You're like, there's a lot of anonymity at Empire where you can just disappear or not be part of it or whatever, which you kind of do, but there you're with these people.
I mean, because you're able to contact a few of them, right? So you kind of...
So I was going with Callum and his friend Tom.
Right.
Right? And Tom I've never met before.
Sure.
So that was another question mark on the weekend. Like, you hang around with a couple of people, they're going to be your main
group
communication
right.
for the entire time. A little bit of chat on the Facebook group. Is a widely varied experience level, right? And it's like, I think some people had been to a lot of LARPs and even run their own LARPs, you know, so they're coming at a completely different
place,
stage
yeah.
from someone who's like brand new, right, that doesn't know a goddamn thing. Who people who went to Blind Dogs as their first LARP ever, how
right.
the fuck they found that out was, I mean, mind-blowing, right?
It's
a very small, you know, it's not something that like necessarily needs to advertise, right? It's 50 people, you know, in the UK get to go to Blind Dogs as a player. That's fucking crazy, you know. It's a tiny little thing. Right, I'm going to just start talking about the LARP, I think.
Okay,
so we should take
a
break because I'm like just holding back information about the actual LARP.
I'm so excited to hear about the stories.
It's an adventure. It's one hell of a journey. I'll give it that, you know. So, anyway, join us soon for the actual LARP itself.
Enough talk. We're almost there.
Just one question. Where are we?
Longbridge. Last haven before the Birmingham exclusion zone.
Birmingham, eh? Never heard of it. Sounds exotic. I'm starting to believe we're a very long way from the Empire.